In every great story that is told, you're always expecting the hurdle, the barrier, the problem that emerges in the midst of the story that needs to be overcome before the protagonist, the hero of the story, is able to come into their own situation. They find their true love, they reach the position that they've been wanting to acquire, or they find the treasure, whatever it is, they win the battle. They're able to overcome this great burden. And so often in the lives of saints, it's often a similar story to be told. Sometimes some of the saints who outwardly have been such holy and religious people have struggled with depression or these experiences of darkness. We saw it in the diaries of Mother Teresa, where she struggled simply to believe, to be able to acknowledge the existence of God. Other saints like St. Thérèse of Lisieux also struggled in the final few years of her life to simply acknowledge the existence of God, you know, to be able to push through this cloud of darkness that hung over them. And so also, perhaps in so many of our own lives, this struggle to believe, this struggle to make sense of where we are and what's happening in our lives, so often is there, so often is present. St. Paul, in this passage that we have from 2 Corinthians tonight, in a similar manner, will talk about first all of the good things, all of the incredible things that God has granted to him. He goes through, in fact, for about 40 verses, listing one after another all of these things, all of these revelations, all of these visions, all of these insights that he has received. But then, of course, he says, but I don't want to boast in all of these powerful and incredible things. And it's there, and it's then that he talks about this, the thorn, that which we often translate it as. The Greek word is scallops, and in the Greek it was, perhaps thorn is a reasonable translation of that word, but another translation, perhaps a stronger translation of this word scallops, is a sense of a stake, a battle stake. You know, when you're wanting to defend your position, you would drive these sharp stakes into the ground and you'd point them out so that the cavalry or the enemy was charging upon you, that, you know, they would impale themselves upon these stakes and your position would be defended. And so it's this massive kind of you know, stake that would be driven into his side. And it's not a pleasant thing, I'm sure, if you've got one of these stakes impaled through your flesh. You'd imagine that you'd be with Paul saying, you know, I prayed to the Lord to remove this thing. And remember, he's praying not just once, not just twice, but again and again and again. He's crying out to God, take this thing away from me, Lord. Please just remove this scallops, remove this stake from my life. It's too much for me to bear. But then Paul experiences something. And Paul receives one of these revelations from the Lord. And he quotes these words that the Lord himself speaks into the life and into the ministry, into the heart of Paul. And these words, I believe, that the Lord will speak into our own lives as well. Because Paul hears the voice of Jesus saying to him, no, my grace is enough. My grace is always enough. My power is made perfect in your weakness, in your frailty, in your struggles, in your inability to make sense of things, in your getting things wrong, in your failures, in your confusion, in your hurt. That God is still there. In the midst of those dark moments, in the midst of those things that at times just seem too much for us to bear, too much for us to be able to deal with, and yet God is precisely there. Note that Paul doesn't say that God gave him this thorn. He says this servant of Satan allowed this to happen. He feels this affliction so keenly, so strongly. But he knows that God is able to work through even this darkness, even this striving that seems too much for Paul to be able to handle. He knows that God will be there and that God will provide the strength, that he needs. And that final words of the reading tonight, for it is when I am weak. And Paul actually kind of goes and channels Yoda, if any of you are Star Wars fans at this point. The literal translation of this, for when I am weak, then strong I am. Because he wants to emphatically finish with this declaration about who he is in God, in Christ, in the Lord. And it's this strength that is there, this power that is made available to him. For when I am weak, then strong I am. This power is available to all of us. This power is available to all of us if only we believe. And it's this belief that we see, that we come against in the gospel tonight. This lack of belief. The gospel is interesting on so many different levels. In fact, it's the only time, the only place in all of the scriptures that we're given this little insight into the work of Jesus. That we're told that he was this tecton, is the Greek word, this carpenter, we often translate it. But it shouldn't be understood as someone who makes beautiful pews and constructs houses and builds buildings out of wood. They wouldn't have done that, particularly in that part of Galilee. They were too impoverished to build wooden houses, but they would make houses out of mud and stone, and simply the carpenter or the tecton might be the person who would build the wooden door frames or pieces of furniture, like so tables and stools and things like that to furnish the rooms, and perhaps the lattice work that might be embedded into the windows, because of course there was no glass at that point, is certainly not for the impoverished, the poor that were the major stay of those people at that time. So this is the only minimal basic reference. When we get this same story in the other Gospels, in the Gospel of Matthew, we're not told that Jesus is a carpenter. We're told that, is this not surely the son of Joseph? Sorry, the son of the carpenter. Joseph isn't even mentioned in Matthew's version. In Luke's Gospel, you're told that, is this not simply the son of Joseph? Note here, though, that Jesus is described not as the son of Joseph, but as the son of Mary. Scholars suggest that that was just another slur that was added to this mix. You'll always be identified as the son of your father, but here there's this perhaps a question mark over this, you know, the way that little villages are wanted to talk about such things, about how did he possibly get this wisdom? He must be, you know, the son of Joseph, because he's one of us. And this guy is, you know, is claiming all these privileges and all these rights and coming in as this big out-of-towner now, wanting to assert his authority and to declare himself, and, you know, as little farm people and agrarian type people are wont to be, that they just go, look, you know, buddy, you're just being way too big for your boots. Come on, just get off your high horse, come back in the mud with us, and just work with the clay, work with all of this, you know, and then you'll be happy, then you'll find your contentment. And yet Jesus is simply wanting to make this declaration, this same power that Paul took many years to discover, that Jesus is wanting this village, this community, to find this same power, that God is able to be at work in you, that God wants to be at work in you, that God wants to be available to you to do this work, to call you into life, to allow you to find your freedom, to allow you to experience the forgiveness of sins, to experience this mercy of God. This same promise, this same declaration is available to all of us if only we have this basic faith and trust in God. Simply to say, Lord, sometimes it's just way too hard to be able to make sense of all that's happening in my life. Lord, it's just too much that you are asking me to bear right at the moment. And yet, in this midst of this cloud that perhaps is covering me, Lord, I pray, or at least I hope, to be able to pass through this veil of darkness and unknowing into that experience of your mercy, into that experience of your grace. Lord, help me. Help me to understand that indeed your grace is always enough. Your strength will always be made perfect in my weakness. Weakness is something that I certainly seem to know a whole lot about. In the struggle with my own sin, the struggle with my own confusion, the struggle with my own doubts. And yet God is there. And yet God continues to reach into my life. And I know that He wants to be available to every one of us tonight to experience that same grace and mercy that He made available to Paul, that He made available to the people of Nazareth.